The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, Bills Mafia? I'm Fernando Shimuri, that's your leading the chart at Buffalo Ramblings. And today I have the pleasure of having with me David Tilton from the Cover One's Air Raid podcast. David, welcome to the Leading the Charge. I really appreciate you taking your time joining us today to talk some Bills.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Always love doing stuff with the Rumblings guys. Been on with Bruce, used to be on with Steve, done some stuff with Jay Spence in the past. So yeah, it's cool. Thank you for having me.
No doubt. And for myself, as a former Cover One guy, always part of the band, right? So always awesome to have you joining. Greg and Aaron has been here, and now it's been a pleasure to have you in the show. And we have a lot of stuff to talk about because it's been a busy week for the Bills with the offensive coordinator change and the poor momentum for the team, the poor record right now, maybe the lowest moment of McDermott's process since he joined the Bills and took over, changed the culture, made the team relevant again. And I think today we are actually privileged of being able to talk with some things, at least from the last game, that does settle down a little bit, and maybe we can talk about it with some nights of sleep on it and thinking more about all this stuff. So after some days, David, how do you see this moment for the Bills? How do you see the move, McDermott firing Dorsey, and how did you react when it happened? How do you feel right now after some nights of sleep and giving some thoughts about the situation?
Yeah, I mean, look, ultimately, I don't think Dorsey getting fired was necessarily just because of what happened against the Broncos, right? I think that this whole thing with Dorsey has been kind of building up. It's been bubbling up for some time. It's been a culmination of things that have really happened probably since the Miami game, right? Since the Miami game ended. So starting with the London trip and then probably to where we are now. So to be honest, my reaction after the Broncos game was that Ken Dorsey was probably like fourth or fifth least of my problems during that particular game. However, given the struggles of the offense and given really, if you think about what the roles of a coordinator should be, it's not just about the play calling and things like that. It's about putting your players in the best position to do their jobs. It's coaching them to not make the same mistakes that they've made previously, and it's ultimately trying to put them in a situation that suits their strengths. And I think what's happened is it got to a point where that wasn't really the case anymore. And so as much as, you know, Josh Allen loved Ken Dorsey and ultimately was the stamp of approval of him getting that coordinator job prior to the season, a move had to be made. You know, at this point, the Bills have now, under Sean McDermott, in the last 2 to 3 years have gotten rid of their defensive coordinator, their special teams coordinator, and now their offensive coordinator. So this is, as some people have said, like Sean McDermott's not going to fire himself. It's now squarely the pressure is on him. You can tell he's feeling that pressure through the press conferences and the like. But a change that probably had to be made, a lot of pressure on this team, a lot of expectation. And obviously now we start to see sort of the Joe Brady press conferences and videos of him out at practice. So we'll see if the vibe check seems like it's passing right now, but that only takes you so far, right? It needs to translate onto the field.
Absolutely. And yeah, about Dorsey, man, when just before the Broncos game, I was pretty confident we could see in that game a team rebounding, you know, with the offense playing well. And I kind of expected the defense to do better against the Broncos. On one hand, because the Broncos offense isn't that great, right? And on the other hand, despite everybody, a lot of people talking about, how badly we were hit by the injuries, and we obviously were or have been. But I felt like we still have a lot of good pieces on the defensive side of the ball with all the investment that has been made on this side of the ball all along the years since McDermott and Bean joined the Bills. And I even tweeted about it, focusing on the pieces that we still have, actually retweeting one of the tweets from Air Raid podcast about our starting defense for this game. I was like, look, we still have a first-round top 10 defensive tackle, a first-round defensive end, two big-time free agents in Von Miller and Floyd. We still have our two safeties, obviously in this game, no Poyer, but we still had a lot of pieces, right? Bernard back in the lineup was huge. So I felt like this defense, obviously, I'm not expecting them to be a top three defense in the league anymore. But I felt like they still have a lot of pieces, especially if Vaughn starts to play better. They still have pieces to be that kind of mid-tier defense that can be opportunistic and create some turnovers and make some plays so the offense can win games for the Bills and even thinking playoffs and big time games, you know. And I felt like the defense could do that against the Broncos, and I was expecting when it happened to see the offense playing better, because I was totally sold on, okay, the defense has been troublesome and affecting the offensive field position. They staying too long on the sidelines waiting to get back on the field. It's breaking their rhythm and things like that. But since the first snap, man, we could see that the offense was totally out of sync and playing poorly against the Broncos. And unfortunately, with other mistakes also, it cost Dorsey's job at the end of the day. But I really feel there are a lot of other problems in this team that we still will need to find some answers going forward. And on the offensive side of the ball, man, I don't know. I think, just like you said, it's a new vibe now with Joe Brady. I don't know how much he will be able to make this offense better, right? To change things. After all, it's the same playbook. He's been on the staff. He's been part of what's been happening so far. But just being able to sometimes change those vibes and make the players believe again and expect something to be different, sometimes it's enough. How do you see this change, and how do you see Brady being able to change the vibes and obviously the play on the field of this offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, well, it certainly seems, at least the initial impressions, that he's a little bit more, you know, animated, involved with the players in practice. He's probably going to be the type that will, you know, wear more on his sleeve as far as speaking with the players than maybe Ken Dorsey did, just given that he's been a little bit more experienced than Ken Dorsey, even though he hasn't necessarily done it truly at the NFL level as far as what he did in Carolina, fine, but like in LSU with big time players, obviously we know the history there. I do think that, look, the playbook's the same. There are some things that can change, right? Like, to me, there are a couple things. Number one, I think sequencing of plays, right? And even if you have the same playbook, sort of how you get into a rhythm as a play caller, the sequencing of how you call plays, understanding situational football, down and distance, things like that, where he can really maybe make some different types of play calls than Ken Dorsey made at different points in the game. and sort of just the general sequencing of how he's calling plays. That's one thing I think that you can immediately maybe see a change in, even with keeping the same playbook. And number two, I think really getting in Josh Allen's ear about like the plays that are there. We've seen it on the film that there are available options to Josh Allen in many cases where we've put the ball in harm's way. He's not without fault here either. So I think Joe Brady can potentially influence Josh Allen's execution a bit more on the field than maybe Ken Dorsey did, just given there didn't seem to necessarily be that give and take per se with Dorsey and Allen. It seemed like they were more like friends than they were like coach and player. Whereas we know in the past with like Daboll, he wasn't afraid to get in Josh Allen's ear, tell him when he was messing up, tell him where he can do to correct things. And I think maybe you'll see a little bit more of that out of Joe Brady. So potentially influencing on the positive side, some of the execution issues we've seen. So even with the same playbook and some minor changes you could see maybe to some of the plays, I think there is still some room, and there should be room for some more consistency with this offense if those two things can kind of maybe come to the forefront here with Joe Brady now at the helm.
Yeah, man, after all this, that's an offense that even though we felt like they were in trouble more often than not, they had a lot of great the advanced metrics loved them, right? They were top three. They still are top three on a lot of metrics. And so there were a lot of good stuff being done in this offense. And again, I think all the things that I mentioned about the defense side of the ball, even special teams hurting the offense sometimes, it still applies. And we still can expect the offense to play better than they did against the Broncos. And alongside the defense playing better like they did in the last game. And yeah, I felt like the offense, for example, in the red zone, we saw Dorsey call a lot of good stuff in the red zone. And even on two-point conversions, we've seen Josh converting some of those plays. And it seems like they haven't used those plays on other parts of the field, like on some fourth down conversions in the middle of the field or third down conversions even. And that's a way that maybe Brady can use the playbook in different spots, different places on the field and make it even more efficient, right? And about the players, I saw Josh's interview. I saw Diggs' interview today that was really interesting. And obviously Gabe's also. And everybody seems really, really down and heartbroken. Even that, those were the words used by Gabe, like heartbroken about Dorsey leaving. You can feel like that's a guy that they love and they like to have around. He's been there since Daboll days, right? And they are down, man, on that. And that's something that I'm a little bit worried turning my attention to McDermott, you know, because when I see Diggs talking like today and when they ask if he how he felt about the move, right, the firing of Dorsey, and he answers like, does it matter? Like, I'm a professional. I will stay working hard. I will keep playing hard, doing my job. And does it matter if I feel bad? Because when I see a player answering something like this, Dave, and I take it to my playing days as a soccer player here in Brazil, and I feel like, okay, I'm indirectly saying I'm mad, man. I didn't like this move, you know. I didn't like this guy. This guy being pointed as responsible for struggles that weren't only his, right? For example, if not the 12 men on the field, man, I have no doubts Dorsey would still be the coordinator today, you know? And that's not on Dorsey. So, yeah, there were a lot of other stuff. Just like you said, it's not just about this game. But I can feel like the players are mad, man. And then when I go to back in the preseason or in the training camps, and McDermott saying he was really concerned about Diggs not leaving the building, not practicing, and all that confusion, and now Josh also maybe mad that Dorsey leaving, they are professionals. They are going to play to win, no doubt. All right, I need to put it out. They're not like, oh, I'm gonna lose games because they fired Dorsey, or I wanna lose games because I don't know, I don't trust McDermott anymore, or I'm mad, or this kind of stuff. No. After all, they want to win. They want to play for the next guy. Brady is another guy that's part of the band, another friend, another coach that it seems they love. And they want to win for this guy too. But do you feel with all those moves, Leslie Frazier one was a little bit weird also. And then Daboll, after the game against the Giants, it was the quickest head coach handshake ever between Daboll and McDermott. Never seen it, you know. And now Dorsey, and man, I'm starting to feel like, I don't know, maybe McDermott is losing his guys, maybe on the offensive side of the ball, especially because of those fights with Daboll back in the day. I tend to believe that Allen, Diggs, most of the offensive guys would side with Daboll in these kind of discussions, you know. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about McDermott going forward with those moves? Obviously, a lot of games to be played. He can save this season. They're continuing to be professionals, trying to win games, play hard. But are you a little bit worried about McDermott starting to lose the guys and some of those guys that have been there for a longer time, right, since the beginning of the process, feeling like, man, he put everything on Dorsey now, or man, he was already fighting Daboll and now he fired Dorsey, or man, he blamed Frazier maybe for some of those struggles, and he was big part of that defensive also. How do you feel about these dynamics with McDermott as the head coach and all his coaching staff?
Yeah, the dynamic is obviously a little bit more unique with the Bills between, like, we'll say head coach and quarterback, right? Or head coach and star offensive player, because the head coach isn't from an offensive background. And I'm not saying that that's bad or anything, but if you look at maybe some other teams around the league and the relationship and the closeness of the head coach and the quarterback, where the quarterbacks are the stars of the teams that have really big star power at quarterback, you look at teams like the Chiefs with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow come to mind, Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. Like, you have these guys that are...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They're naturally more connected, right, when it comes to the week-to-week process, the game planning, all this stuff, because they're from that side of the ball. It's a different dynamic with the Bills because McDermott obviously comes from the defensive side, and there is a lot of, I guess, it's more magnified on what's happening with the offensive coaches and the coordinators than probably it would be from some of these other teams, right? Like, I mean, I bet you half the Bills fans probably couldn't even name who the Bengals offensive coordinator is, right? Because it doesn't matter. They automatically associate Joe Burrow with Zach Taylor, right? Kind of like, you know, a couple years back when it was like Sean McVay and Matt Stafford, right? And then all of a sudden you get these offensive guys like Zach Taylor getting head coaching jobs because of that. So the dynamic is definitely interesting. I do think that part of me reads the players' reaction to the Dorsey firing as them realizing that a lot of this is on them, right? And that they feel bad that Dorsey was kind of the one that had to bear the brunt of the blame because something had to happen, when in reality, a lot of the issues have been on the execution as well, right? So I think, you know, Gabe making those comments, or Josh, you know, making those comments about, you know, him being a close friend, or being heartbroken. To me, I read between the lines on that as the players saying, like, we had a part in this because we didn't execute to the best of our ability. And now, from McDermott's standpoint, it's I had to make this move, and maybe this gets the players' attention a bit to refocus a bit and say, like, look, like, regardless of whether or not, you know, it was like 50% your fault or 50% his fault or whatever it may be, like, he's the guy that had to go. He was part of the problem. But now, right, I have your attention that I'm willing to make a change in the middle of the season to the coaching staff. Now you really can't do much with players, right, as far as star, like, you're not going to do anything with star players, and you really can't do a whole lot with players, right? So it has to be the coach that changes in that situation. So that's kind of how I read it. The dynamic's going to be interesting. Look, the Bills can still go on a run, like you said. They can still go out and beat the Jets this weekend, and then they have a huge matchup with the Eagles before the bye. If for some reason they can find a way to win both of these next two games and go into the bye at 7-5, they could have some confidence coming out of the bye and going on a run. It's not beyond them to do that, but they really need to get things together in a hurry, or this season could be lost in a hurry as well.
Yeah, man, I even don't believe that McDermott wanted to fire Dorsey now, you know? Like,
I don't think he did either. I really don't.
Yeah, I think he just, because on one side, like, we don't see a lot of Pegula talking things on the media, and he's nowhere near like Ralph used it to be, or you know, he's not this kind of owner that's all the time talking on the media. And so some people tend to believe that means that McDermott isn't being held accountable, but that's not something that we can be sure about, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
We don't know how much Pegula is all over McDermott and talking and telling him, look, the investment has been made. We've done everything that you've asked for, and we've been hitting and close every year, close to breaking that door and winning the AFC, but never happens. And now these, you know, so we don't really know how much the Pegulas are all over McDermott and holding him accountable, because that's the only guy that McDermott reports to, right? With being
yep.
equal or even under McDermott, joining the Bills after McDermott and coming from the Panthers too. So we aren't sure about it. And I felt like after this last game against the Broncos, it was up to the point that McDermott really needed to do something. He needed to mm-hmm. fire Dorsey there, because just like you said, he wasn't going to fire himself. And in the middle of the season, you can't do much personnel-wise with the players. No,
mm-hmm.
the next domino to fall, obviously, was Dorsey, right? McDermott is the defensive coordinator also right now. So
mm-hmm.
there was another guy to be fired in this situation. And I believe when Josh says that he talked to Coach McDermott and he understood where he was with this situation, I even believe McDermott said something like this. Look, I really didn't want to fire Dorsey now. I after all, 1 week ago, he was like, I trust him. Do you think about making a move about offensive coordinator? No, I don't. I never thought about it. Like 1-2 weeks ago, right? So
yep.
I don't feel he was comfortable doing so, but he got to a point that something had to be made. And obviously, Dorsey was the domino to fall. But people are like also tending to talk about how much McDermott is getting involved on the offense, going back to his fights or his arguments with Daboll, and people tend to believe McDermott is that old school head coach or old school coach that want to run the ball all the time. And man, I feel like I even tweeted that replying Aaron Quinn from Cover One recently about why do people think about it. Aaron was asking, and for me it came after that game against the Seahawks where we started throwing the ball 15 consecutive times and we scored a lot, and it was a blowout really since the beginning, and the Bills never run really the ball, just threw it all over the Seahawks and had a lot of success. And after that, when the Bills struggled and they started to run a little bit more the ball, people were like, McDermott just want to run the ball, right? And I feel obviously McDermott want a balance. He want a team that can pass the ball, but also can run, can an offense that can move on no huddle, but also can stay on the field and tire the other defense or give a time for his defense to rest. So I believe he wants balance. And all the guys that he has hired after Dennison maybe was the closest that he could have as a run the ball and play action guy. But after Dennison with Dable and then Dorsey and now Brady, another guy who loved to throw the ball with the Panthers, it's not like he's wanting to a ground and pound offense, or it's not like he want to hire Greg Roman as his offensive coordinator. After all, he's available now, right? But people feel like this. How do you feel about McDermott putting his fingers on the offense or wanting more a more balance? Or because we've seen more offensive line playing better, we've seen our team running the ball better this year. Then I can understand when Dable was like, "Look, when we try to run the ball, it's a wasted play, you know, because we can't run the ball. Our offensive line can block. Mm-hmm. We can't run." I could understand. Now it's a little bit different. How do you feel about this situation with McDermott regarding his impact on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I think it's a total misperception, right, about McDermott being this like uber conservative guy as far as like wanting to run the ball. Like all the statistics and over the past, since he's really been the coach, have shown that the Bills are one of the more pass heavy teams in the league. So whatever you might think of McDermott, just because like maybe there's a perception that he wants to do that because he's a defensive coach, right? And like that someone will naturally think, oh, just because he's a defensive coach, that means he wants to run. Well, that's not really the case, right? In reality, I think what McDermott wants is he wants his offense to be able to be dynamic and adjust to the opponent, right? I think if the matchup dictates that the Bills should be able to run the ball because the matchup dictates that their personnel has an advantage and the offensive line, to their credit, has been playing pretty well this year, then they should be able to run the ball. Time of possession has been a huge issue for the Bills in this stretch of games. They've been getting killed in time of possession. The defense has been on the field a ton. I do think there is some validity to wanting to possess the ball more, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have to run the ball more. It just means you need to stay on the field more, commit fewer turnovers, right? That's been a big issue as well. Sustain more drives. And yes, by naturally, if you're completing passes and things like that, the clock is going to continue to move and you're going to rack up time of possession. So I do think that's a misperception. And all the analytics and stats show that McDermott really hasn't been, at least like the perception of him being run first has not translated onto the field in the last 4 to 5 years. The Bills have been one of the most pass happy teams. And as you mentioned, rightfully, look at the hires, Dable, Dorsey, like these are guys that are generally pass first type of guys. And so not to mention the personnel, right? And McDermott having a say in the draft as well, and who the Bills sign and who the Bills draft. The personnel the Bills have on the offensive line is more geared towards a passing team as well. Their offensive line, I know they added Torrence and he's a really good run blocker, but generally speaking, the Bills offensive line is built to pass block, right? And so I give kudos a lot to the offensive line this year. They've been doing a good job. The running game has been pretty good this year. And I think that, like you said, it's about balance. It's about understanding the situations you are in games. If there's situations where you need to run a 4-minute offense and kill clock, you do that. And we saw the Bills do that last year in a couple different games, or we saw them kind of kill clock at the end of games. And like that's where they used to be really good in situational football on the offensive side. And that's where I think we've seen a regression this year. And so maybe that's also something that we could see an improvement with Joe Brady, even with the same playbook. So we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And to finish about McDermott, and I felt like after the game, a lot of people that have defended and fight for McDermott all the time and defend him and his work all along, even a lot of those people kind of turned around and started to think, look, if it continues this way, it's time for McDermott to go. And I'm not a McDermott hater by any means. Maybe I'm sounding like this, and even my tweets are sounding like this, because it was the same thing with Dorsey. It's not like I was a Dorsey lover, but I felt like I had to defend him because everything was Dorsey's fault, you know, and I couldn't stand like Gabe Davis dropping a pass, third down conversion. Oh, Dorsey sucks. And right, so it made no sense for me, and I couldn't stand that. I remember against the Jaguars, two drives being killed about because of a Gabe Davis drop and another one because of Knox drop. So there were two drives that the Bills could have stayed on the field, scored, at least kicked the field goal, and they were dead because of it. Or against the Giants, Knox catches that pass, and there is no last drive for the Giants.
Right.
There were a lot of situations like this. And against the Broncos, again, first drive was a mess, first play and a fumble. But when Gabe dropped that ball, we were entering the red zone, man, where the Bills offense has done really awesome. So the Bills were – it was a messy game all around, right? So I couldn't blame Dorsey for a lot of those kinds of stuff. And with McDermott, man, I feel like he has done a great job since the beginning. He turned the franchise around. He led the franchise to the playoffs and to big games on the playoffs. But I can't lie that I have a scar of that 13 seconds, and a lot of people right? And I love McDermott's defense, and even Leslie Frazier's when he was alongside McDermott. I love his style of defense, how they do awesome in regular season, and how they can stay on the field on nickel all the time. I love it. Some people hate it and want a base defense. No, I want my best players on the field, and I can understand you kind of allowing people to run a little bit if you can force a third down situation to try to leave the field on that situation. So I love his philosophy, how he builds his defense. I actually think he's a way better defensive coordinator than head coach, and it's not like I'm not saying that in a negative way. I think it's normal for he, after all, he started as a defensive coordinator. He has way more experience in that side of the ball. It's his specialty, right? But man, I feel like his defense, and it has a glaring problem, you know, a glaring weak link. Like, it seems like when you need it the most, man, they can't stop nobody who else is on the other side of the field, right? Like in the 13 seconds, it was the Chiefs and Mahomes, okay. But back in the day, man, in his Carolina Panthers days, if we remember, maybe the best CJ Manuel moment as a Bill was against McDermott throwing a game-winning touchdown to Stevie Johnson.
Yeah,
the game. And this year, Mac Jones, Tyrod Taylor almost won that game in the last drive, first game as a starter. Right, and then Mac Jones, a game-winning drive, and in the last game, man,
Baker almost made that Hail Mary too. Don't forget that.
Yeah, the Hail Mayfield. Yeah, yeah, man, crazy. Right. And then the Hail Mary for Murray years ago.
Yeah,
and right after a game-winning touchdown pass to Diggs, right, and in this last game, man, again the offense was bad, no rhythm. They couldn't stay on the field. They had a lot of messy turnovers, man. Crazy stuff happening, some crazy fumbles. And then Josh goes and score a touchdown and kind of give you a win, you know, like, and it was kind of the same a week ago or 2 weeks ago against the Patriots, against the Giants. So, and then, man, you can't stop Russell Wilson. Okay, it was just field goal range, but man, that two cover zeros in a row. You build the defense on zone coverage, soft coverage quarters, and then you call two cover zeros in a row and a penalty, and unlucky penalty, kind of even unfair penalty, in my opinion. Those kind of plays got to be reviewed by NFL, in my opinion, sooner rather than later, because it's unfair to a defender to not commit a penalty in that situation, because what Tyrone Johnson could have done differently in that situation. Anyways, they can't stop Russell Wilson, and then the 12 men on the field, man. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you finding new ways to lose games? My goodness. Man, how do you feel about McDermott going forward? because I really felt like no matter what, McDermott has one more year, in my opinion. The only other way it isn't happening is a tragedy, a total tragedy, you know. In my opinion, the way I see his relationship with the Pegulas and but man, I don't know. If Dorsey fired before he wanted, in my opinion, all the focus is on him now. And if they can turn it around this season, just like you said, there's nobody else to be fired anymore, right? So how are you feeling about McDermott going forward? What's ideal for you in his situation if you were Pegula? And what do you think is going to happen going forward with the possible scenarios involving the Bills?
Yeah, well, first, the end-of-game defense in multiple games has been bad. Like, there's no doubt about that. It seems like the Bills just, like, for whatever reason, they just are so scared to give up the big play at the ends of games that they end up just letting teams just get chunk plays in front of them and basically, honestly, using not a lot of time to do it either, right? I mean, that pitch to Perine, Bernard misses the tackle. It's like an easy 20 yards right off the bat for Denver, and they're already at midfield. It's like that type of stuff shouldn't happen. It's happened multiple times, obviously the biggest of which the 13 seconds incident. However, the rest of the game, the defense generally played well. They only allowed 6 points off of four turnovers, which is incredible given the field position Denver had all night. So, like, again, they hold up for most of the game, and then in the biggest moments at the end of the games, they tend to fall flat. And that has been an issue for this Bills team with McDermott and even with Frazier. Look, McDermott, Frazier gone. Obviously, he took the mantle of calling the defensive play calling, and he took that pressure upon himself. And I feel like he did answer that pressure pretty well. Tons of injuries on the defensive side of the ball, and the defense has done an okay job, right? End of game situations aside, with all the injuries, they've done an okay job. I think the issue the Bills are going to have, one, is I don't know how willing Terry Pegula is going to be to potentially buy out Sean McDermott's remaining contract, given that him and Bean just both got extended together before this season. So that's one thing we need to consider, right? I do agree with you that he's like he I feel like is all but guaranteed to be back next year. I think they'll point to the fact that the offense couldn't going again, they'll point back to Dorsey. They'll point to the defensive injuries they've had, et cetera, et cetera. And it, like you said, unless it's a total tragedy and they like lose out or lose like almost all of their remaining games, I just don't see that being the case. As far as that, like I just, the philosophy I have is this: you shouldn't be afraid to take a risk to make a change. If it maybe causes a little bit of regression in the short term, if it ultimately gets you to your end goal, right, while you have Josh Allen. There's only so many years you have of Josh Allen. And if you have seen the way he can play, even, you know, with a good offensive coordinator or good play calling, whatever, that, if you're Terry Pegula, should not necessarily scare you to make a change at head coach if you really want to. Because I think that you would have a really good candidate list, number one, because I think a lot of people would want to sign up to coach the Bills at this point. This isn't the same Bills from the drought era where we were begging coaches to kind of come and try to coach this team. I think you'll have a lot of good coaches lining up to want to coach this team with Josh Allen, try to get the Bills over the hump. And if that means maybe you have a go through like an average year, you still probably have a really good chance to make the playoffs because you have Josh Allen. So like, that's the thing to me. It's like how much of it will be not necessarily like maybe on the field ramifications, but maybe inside the building and culturally and organizationally. That's probably where you might get the most negative impact, because to McDermott's credit, he has really done a good job generally with the culture and rebuilding the I guess positivity and the credibility of the organization, right? Getting players to want to come there, getting good coaches, etc. So I feel like it would be more of an internal, like organizational, cultural issue to make a change than it would be like an on the field issue, if that makes sense.
Yeah, man. When I talk a tragedy to have McDermott fired at the end of the year, it's not even about the games. And obviously, yeah, they can still play badly enough to lose a lot of games, but I don't believe so. I think the Bills have lost five games by 23 points. One game they had won this year, they had a bigger difference than that. So at some point, I think the luck will flip around a little bit and you'll be able to win more games. But I think like something like inside the locker room, right? And to McDermott's credit, it can be what makes him a great guy, a great culture guy inside the building, a great leader, sometimes can be the same thing that makes him lose the locker room. And what do I mean with that? I remember when I played and I had some really great coaches in the sense of being really men that stick to their words and everybody respect those guys, you know, and that preached the correct things, you're working hard and you're respecting each other and you're building into doing the right things. And when those guys preach those kind of things, they are also, people expect them to be perfect, and you can be perfect, you know. Mm-hmm. For example, Quinton right. Spain just tweeted like, oh, that's not the right guy to be fired about Dorsey. You yeah. wanted, right? And Quinton Spain can feel maybe like McDermott did something or treated him poorly or wasn't fair to him. Mm-hmm. And man, or now some people can look at the Dorsey situation and feel McDermott wasn't fair to Dorsey. McDermott is in a difficult situation.
Yes,
right. Yes. And yep. even if he's the most honest man in the world and fair, and man, he's not perfect and he won't be perfect with everybody who makes some mistakes. But when you are a guy who preaches the right things, the culture, doing the right thing, not lying and things like that, if you tell one thing that somebody sees as a little lie, see, that guy's a liar. He says you shouldn't lie, but he's lying, you know? So I feel like people can hold McDermott on those regards, and maybe after all those years, he can lose the confidence of some of these players. And if it happens, especially the main guys, because Josh will never throw anybody under the bus on a yep. on a, an interview to the media.
Nope.
But man, if the things are bad enough, at some point, Pegula can simply call Josh to his office or to his house for a dinner and talk to his franchise quarterback and look, man, what's going on? How are the things going inside the locker room? And man, unfortunately, Coach McDermott, I don't trust him anymore. Things like that. Behind closed doors where they should be solved, you know? So that's when I mean a tragedy to McDermott, because as long as he has the confidence of his players, they believe in him, I think he has done enough to deserve not getting fired after the first year he doesn't make the playoffs.
I agree. Right? I agree with that.
And, and I feel like the Pegula, Terry Pegula will be like, look, what went wrong? I will give you one more shot to figure out the offensive coordinator, to find somebody to work nicely with Josh. And maybe if John Brady can do a good job, he'll be the first candidate. So I feel like Pegula is going to go this direction. And the other way it's not happening is if he really loses the locker room, it being fair or not. I feel like McDermott will be held on those standards that he preaches all the time about being a man, an honest and true to his word. That's how I feel about McDermott and his future inside the locker room.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting situation, right? Because as you alluded to before, the organizational structure has McDermott reporting to Terry Pegula and Brandon Bean reporting to Terry Pegula, right? They're independently reporting to Pegula. McDermott doesn't report to Bean. Bean can't fire McDermott. I would imagine in a scenario where McDermott is gone, I would imagine Brandon Bean stays, right? Like I don't think there would be a reason for Brandon Bean to leave. And so it will be interesting to see how that would play out. But I do agree with you. I think McDermott, like, I don't, again, just reading it from the outside, I don't think he's lost the team yet, but I think mm-hmm. this is the hottest his seat has been since he got here, right? Obviously, the first couple years, the expectations were lower. We had the rookie, you know, talented quarterback, and we knew things were going to have growing pains. you know, fast forward a year, you know, you surprise the league, you make the playoffs, you have that heartbreaking loss to the Texans. I get it. But then you come back the next year and you make it to the AFC Championship game. So it's like he, at some point, right, you can't, you have to remove the, you have to remove the fact that McDermott brought this team out of the drought and look at his performance within the window of him having an elite quarterback, right? We can't always revert back to, oh, he got this team out of the drought and that gives him an unlimited leash, right? That's not how we should be looking at things. Because again, when you have Josh Allen, you have a chance every single year. You should have a chance every single year to win a Super Bowl. I've made this comparison before. The Saints team for years with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, they had some bad seasons with Drew Brees at quarterback, with Sean Payton as the coach. They had losing record seasons, some pretty bad years. And they always knew going into the season with Drew Brees and with Sean Payton that they could potentially be a contender that year for a Super Bowl. And eventually he got one, right? He won once. And that's all I want, man. Just one. I just need one. I just need one.
True, man. And I feel like even the Brandon Bean's moves at the deadline showed that
they were great moves. I mean, they were
great moves, but they weren't like those moves that that people who are feeling the heat to be fired do, you know. They weren't like, oh, we gotta go after the no matter how much we're gonna pay, we're gonna bring some impact players. And no, they made the cost benefit moves, trying bringing Rasul Douglas instead of the Bears guy, for example, paying a first round pick. No, they paid a good price for a good player and a guy who's gonna help this team. Yep. And then going to the free agency, bringing Neval Joseph, and not spending draft capital on it. So they were smart moves, and moves that people who aren't really feeling the heat of getting fired if they don't get it done this year. They were like short-term moves and long-term moves, you know, not wasting draft capital. So I feel like they have this kind of security that only a terrible tragedy really to not have them in Buffalo next year. I feel like they see it as this way also, and they can continue to work as they've done, trying to win now, but trying to stay competitive as long as possible, right?
Yeah.
And about Josh, man, I think I made this comparison back in the day, maybe after the Bengals loss in the playoffs and even after the 13 seconds, not 100% believing it, but just raising the question that it can happen at some point. No matter how much you like McDermott as a coach or not, he has done a great job. But sometimes the guy just isn't able to take the next step. And as a Chicago Bulls fan, I brought the example of Michael Jordan's years with Doug Collins.
Doug Collins. Coach, have you talked to Aaron? Have you talked to Aaron Quinn about the Chicago?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk all the time, and not about this comparison, but man, the Bulls were getting to the finals, the East Finals every year with Doug Collins. Michael Jordan loved Doug Collins, right? Michael Jordan had his buddies on the team like Charles Oakley, and he loved Doug Collins, but they couldn't win the East, right? And after a loss in the East Finals, they fired Doug Collins, like Jerry Krause, the weird guy, right? And okay, you were firing the coach after losing the finals, the East Finals. Yeah. And who are you going to hire? An assistant out of Montana, you know? Like, my goodness, what's going on, right? And I try to think about what did Michael Jordan think about it? Because, okay, you're going to hire Phil Jackson, you're going to trade Oakley, my buddy, right, my enforcer. And, man, they did the move because they were aggressive and they thought they should do that and to take the next step, and it worked, right? And... The Bills, we have our Michael Jordan, man. And look, for me, Michael Jordan is the GOAT in all sports, all right? I'm a Brazilian guy, and we as Brazilians, we believe Pelé was the biggest athlete of all time in every sport. I disagree. I think it was Michael Jordan. So I think we have our Michael Jordan, because when I saw Josh beating the Chiefs just to see the defense giving them the game in the 13 seconds, or when I saw Josh doing a lot of great stuff, man, he has this potential. He has this potential to be the best quarterback in this league. When he's at his best, he's the best quarterback in this league, in my opinion. So I think we have this Michael Jordan, man. So we can't just be happy because we aren't in a 17-year drought anymore.
Agreed.
And some of McDermott shows some of things that scares me, you know, this problem with the defensive side of the ball in clutch minutes, like, man, don't panic, man, figure it out. I really root for him to figure it out, but I'm a little bit scared, man. So that's why I wouldn't lie. I'm ready to move on from McDermott if things don't really get better this season. And get better this season, what do I mean about it? Really surprising everybody, man, kind of winning out, kind of going to the playoffs, entering on a run in the most important moment, right? That's what I expect to save McDermott's job. Do I believe that he will be fired if it doesn't happen? No, I don't. I really believe he will have at least one more year with Pegula, but that's how I see the situation right now.
Yeah, and I'm with you, and that's why I think, you know, the basketball comparison's interesting, because I feel like maybe it's like a little bit easier to make a change in basketball where there's 12 guys, right, including the guys on the bench, and like the cultural organizational stuff is maybe a little bit easier to change immediately, whereas like the McDermott, you know, culture and the impact that he has, and like everything is like kind of so interwoven and ingrained within the building and everywhere around the team, like how much would a change there impact that negatively in the short term for potential positive game in the long term? And you have to be willing to potentially take that chance, right? You have to be willing to take that chance. If Terry Bagula at some point feels like Sean McDermott's ceiling has been reached, and the ceiling of Sean McDermott is potentially just a divisional round playoff appearance and maybe making it to the AFC title game, and that's it. Like, that's not good enough for a team that has Josh Allen. That's just plain not good enough. So it's a tough decision, but that's why Terry Pegula is the owner of the team, and he's in a position to make that call, and he's the only one that really can make that call. So we'll see.
Yeah, man. And I agree, totally agree. In basketball, sometimes you see a change in the coaching staff and you see a completely different roster, entire roster on the other season. You make 2-3 trades and you have a totally different roster. And it doesn't happen in football. But we've seen recently the Eagles hire a coach, win the Super Bowl, have losing seasons, fire a coach, get back to the Super Bowl, and we still have the same coach. You know? So sometimes you gotta be aggressive, man. It's crazy, sometimes you gotta do it, right? And
you do.
And we'll see, man. We'll see. I'm still rooting hard for this team to figure out things this year, because if they can do that, it's the right time. We saw last year the team starting really strong, playing great against the Rams week one, playing Super Bowl level football in September, and unfortunately it was the wrong time, right? And now if the team starts to play well, figure out the offense, starts to figure out stuff, play better, up to their potential, being a little bit more consistent, and the word that everybody hates but can't be more true, man, complementary football. If they can play better complementary football, play at the same time good offense, good defense, good special teams, it hasn't happened. If they can do that, this team will be really hard to get beat, man, no matter who's on the other side of the field. So I feel like they can change that, and it got to start against the Jets. So how do you feel about this game going forward next Sunday? Because big challenge for Brady. After all, this defense has been a nightmare for Josh and this offense for quite some time now.
Yeah, and look, it is about getting hot at the right time, right? We've seen teams win the Super Bowl that really weren't necessarily the best team or even close to being the best team during the regular season. Like the Giants teams that won the Super Bowls come to mind for me there. Like both of those teams were wild card teams, got hot at the right time. Eli Manning got hot at the right time. Like, yeah, they had some good players on the defensive side. They had Michael Strahan, and they like had a couple, you know, Antonio Pierce for one. Like, but they weren't like world beaters by any stretch of the imagination, and they didn't necessarily have all world talent either offensively on some of those teams, right? They had guys like Steve Smith, Mario Manningham, right? David Tyree. Like, I mean, that team won the Super Bowl against an undefeated Patriots team. So you just never know what can happen in the NFL playoffs. That's what makes it great. As far as this Jets game coming up, look, like, if you thought Denver was a must win, like, you can't dip below 500 and lose another divisional game, right? Like, you got to get a divisional win. You got to get it at home. You just lost embarrassingly on national TV, millions of people watching against the Denver Broncos who, look, the Denver Broncos are a better team than the New York Jets, in my opinion. So, look, you cannot lose at home to the Jets. They're the worst third down team in the league. They're only converting 25% of their third downs. I mean, Zach Wilson, he's got the lowest success passing rate per Pro Football Reference of any qualifying quarterback this year. They haven't been able to run the ball great lately. Breece Hall's been struggling to find running room lately. He's averaging under 3 yards a carry in his last three games combined. Defensively, the Jets are very good. There's no doubt about that. They might have the two best. They might have the best linebacking duo in the NFL with Mosley and Quincy Williams, and they have Quinn and Williams up front. But the Bills defense playing inspired against the Broncos did a good job for most of the game. There is no reason they can't do exactly what a pretty poor Raiders defense just did against the Jets and hold that team to 13 or fewer points. And that Bills offense really needs to be able, if they can score 20 points against the Jets, they should be able to win that game.
Yeah, man, that's what I expect too. I think just hearing from Brady in his press conference and just also from experience from previous seasons, because even in the previous seasons, Josh playing great, he had some stretches where he threw a lot of interceptions and struggled for two or three games. And we saw an effort of kind of saving Josh from himself in the next week and trying to avoid turnovers at all costs, trying to run the ball a little bit more and trying to keep things more controlled for Josh. I think this week against the Jets, knowing what happened in week one and knowing how the Jets have played recently, there will be they will try hard to avoid turnovers at all costs, to get Josh being able to play an entire game without throwing an interception, something in this in this line of thinking to allow the defense to control the game and the offense to do just enough to win this game. I believe it's completely possible, and then you get a big-time game against the Eagles just before the bye week. So you got to win this game no matter what, right? And start to feel better about yourself after this week. And I feel like it's possible, man. I feel like they can do that, and they can start on a run doing something like this. Because if you beat the Jets and get past this difficult defense to play against, and then you play great against the Eagles, and I really believe they can do that, right? Man, you go to the bye week completely different. And don't forget that people just look at the record and think, okay, we were used to fight for the seed one, and now we are 5-5, 50%. But man, the Dolphins are two games ahead. And things happen, man, all the time. Injuries, people start to struggle. So we never know. The Dolphins can slip or they can find itself in trouble. So we don't need really a lot of wins maybe to win the division and get into the playoffs. We play the Dolphins. We have this game against them to take a game out of this difference. So I really feel the Bills can start something good right now. Am I expecting that? Man, I don't know. I feel like there is something difficult inside the locker room, but maybe, just maybe, they can do what Diggs said and continue to be professionals even if they don't agree with things that are happening inside the building and play well. We have some quality there and really get in a run and start feeling better about themselves and start leaving aside things like, oh, there are things that aren't right. It wasn't right to fire Dorsey. It wasn't right maybe in the beginning of the year to move on from Fraser. No, maybe they can start to win some games, feel better about themselves, and let's go on. Let's try to win it all. So that's how I feel about this game against the Jets, and that's how I feel about the near future regarding this Buffalo Bills, man.
Yeah, I mean, there will be a lot different feeling around this team if they go out and beat the Jets and then go out and pull an upset. You know, it will be an upset if they beat the Eagles. And I will say, like, if they go out and beat the Eagles before the bye week, the bye week is going to be filled with positivity and momentum and a chance for this team to really go on a run, because that game before the bye week is brutal, right? Playing the Eagles, and then you come immediately out of the bye week and have to play the Chiefs. So, like, it's right in front of you if you're the Bills. Like, you're going to find out what you're made of these next three games plus the bye week, because the Jets aren't going to roll over. We've seen them already beat the Bills this year, and then you've got games, the two after, against the Super Bowl representatives from a year ago. So, like, it's right in front of you if you're the Bills. Like, prove what you are. If you can prove that you can beat the Jets, a team that has a good defense who knocked you in the mouth earlier in the year, and then come out and somehow find a way to win against, you know, the NFC and AFC champs from a year ago, the tune could change quite quickly around this team.
Yeah, man. Dave, I really appreciate you taking your time joining us today. I had a blast, man. I could stay talking Bills with you all day long, man, and it would be awesome. Really appreciate it. And leading the charge doors are always wide open whenever you want to join, you, Judge. It will be a pleasure to have you guys here, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I always, like, love being a guest on other people's shows. It's cool being, like, on this side of it sometimes. So I really appreciate you having me. It was fun conversation.
Awesome. Bills Mafia, please hit that like button, subscribe to Buffalo Rumblings channel. I'll be back on Sunday with the Portuguese show for Latin America, Brazil, and all Portuguese-speaking countries, with a pregame show before the game against the Jets. And also, this show is available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So, thank you so much for taking your time. See you around. Go Bills.
Go Bills.